I'd like to introduce a new friend that I've met, and Gilbert is with us today. Gilbert, come on up. He's a young man that's visited my office a couple times to tell me about how he's involved with missions, and I'd like to introduce Gilbert O. to you today, and we'll have him back a little bit later, but just to have a few words of greeting to the folk.
Hello, everybody. As Pastor said, my name is Gilbert. I'm 26 years old. I just graduated from Sac State this past semester. And thank you. And actually, what he was referring to is I actually was a student missionary in the nation of Tunisia for 1 year. And so what that means is that I was in Tunisia. Our purpose was to plant a church, and I'm continuing to serve this mission organization that focuses on reaching out to the unreached nations, focusing on reaching out to nations that are very virtually few, if any, Christians, and wanting to see, like, God working in these places. And God is working indeed in the nations. Some of these nations include, like, Morocco, Egypt, Iraq, Turkey, even Tunisia, of course. And I'm just part of this mission organization that we want to see, like, revival happen. We want to see revival, of course, happen in North America as well. And so I'm just glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. I've got a college student coming to my office to tell me we need to be doing missions. I said, you're a rare breed, buddy. Don't see many like you around. He said, well, I spend all my time connecting with high school, college-age kids to take them on mission trips around the world, and it changes their life. Isn't that awesome? So I'm going to chase after Gilbert, and I'm going to try to keep him around here as much as I can. What would you, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Yeah, oh, there it is, Gilbert. There it is. You're hooked, buddy. But thanks for coming, and he's going to meet with our new church, talk with them a little bit after service today when they meet together. And I think God has some very special things he's doing through Gilbert's ministry with these students and missions trips, and it's quite exciting. We are in this series called The Power of One, Exhibit A, right here, Gilbert. What one person can do. The power of one person committed to the Lord. The power of one family member committed to Jesus and how it can impact their family. The power of one family on a city block and their influence up and down the street with the people they live around. The power of one. The power of one church or one ministry in a church that's committed to serve the Lord and bless other people's lives. The power of one. And I'm feeling this stirring about this message series because I feel us as a church coming up to a place to say, what are we going to do? What are we going to make? How can we make this happen? How can we be that kind of church? How can we be that kind of follower of Jesus Christ that our life matters and makes a difference? The power of one. We get buffaloed into thinking, oh, one doesn't matter. One doesn't count. There are so many things going against us. The need is so great. One can't make a difference. But you read through the scriptures and you see it over and over again how God used one committed person who was following him to make all the difference. This passage here today is a great one because it's Jesus talking to his disciples, starting in verse 29. And Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. In other words, Jesus had stopped talking in parables. He'd stopped using metaphors and illustrations, trying to teach the principles of the kingdom. Now he was talking very plainly to them, and they're saying, hey, we like this. We understand what you mean. Now we can see that you know all things, and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. You believe at last, Jesus answered. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. Jesus is telling his disciples here, I'm thankful for your response. I'm thankful for your words of faith. But you need to know trouble's on the horizon. It's going to get tough. And it's going to get so bad that all of you are going to just scatter and abandon me, and I'm going to be here by myself. But the Father will be with me, he said. In no uncertain terms, Jesus was saying to his disciples, you're going to get afraid and run away. You're going to turn into a bunch of cowards. Nobody likes to be called a coward. We despise anyone who's a coward. When you watch a good show, the bad guy's always the coward. The good guy's always the one who's brave enough to stand up against what's wrong. Our culture, our society values bravery and courage. And we all like to think we have courage, that we have bravery in our lives. And Jesus is kind of putting it to the disciples here to say, it takes an enormous amount of bravery and courage to live up to the truth that I'm giving you and the mission that I'm placing before you. It's going to take courage. And the truth is, still today, if we want to do the right thing, if we want to stand for truth, if we really want to make a difference in our world, it's going to take some bravery. It's going to take some courage. It's going to mean we stand up against the status quo. And if we're going to really exert the power of one, we're going to have to be people who have a firm faith in Jesus and a courage to make the difference. It doesn't happen by accident. And so I just feel like to talk about the power of one, I have to talk about this topic of courage. I believe for our church here in Arden, we're coming up to a place once again where we kind of make a decision, am I going to go for this or not? Am I going to step out on faith? Am I going to trust God? Can I be courageous and help others come to faith and make an eternal difference? Jesus promised us, in this world you will have hardship. It's not an option. Don't be surprised. It's going to happen. In fact, if you don't have any hardship in your life, you might be coasting downstream. You might be just floating along, taking it too easy. When you turn and start swimming against the current and trying to do the right thing, problems happen. Amen? Jesus said, you will have trouble. And he kind of prepares us to say, don't be too shocked, don't be too surprised when you start trying to do the right thing, you start exerting your faith and having a little courage. Don't be too surprised if it gets a little rough. You hit some bumps in the road. That's to be expected. But Jesus said, don't worry about that. I have overcome the world. I got it all under control. He said, you just trust me and follow through, and I'll give you the strength and the grace to make it. That's a great encouragement today. Amen? It really is. The Bible gives us some things to do to take these steps to build our courage. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I have a lot of courage today. I feel a little nervous. I'm not so sure I could take on some stuff that maybe I should. Well, let's look at some of the things the Scripture says can build this quality of confidence and boldness and courage to serve the Lord. The disciples in the early church were preaching the word, and they were arresting them and persecuting them and throwing them in prison. They brought them into the court and they said, now look, this is ridiculous what you're doing. You have to stop this preaching about Jesus. You have to stop talking about your faith everywhere. It's just getting out. It's just, this is too much. You have to stop it. And if you don't stop it, we're going to throw you right back in prison. We're going to beat you again. And they said, we need to pray. And here's how they prayed. Oh Lord, send down a thunderbolt and kill every one of those guys. No, that's not what they prayed. They prayed, oh Lord, we need a new ruler in Jerusalem. Help us with this election. No, that wasn't how they prayed. You know how they prayed? Lord, give us boldness to speak. You've heard their threatenings. Give us boldness to speak in spite of what they're saying. Amen. God wants to give us a courage and a boldness to live out our faith and to make a difference. Well, what does the Bible say about doing that? There's several things. How can I live courageously? Number one, this may be a big step for some of us here, by owning up to my sin in my life is the place to start. To become courageous spiritually, you have to be honest spiritually with God. You have to come clean. And I choose the word sin on purpose because we don't like to talk about it a lot. We talk about our mistakes, our missteps, our bad judgments, talk about all these terrible decisions and da-da-da-da-da, but we don't really come right out and say, sin. But the Scripture says, don't be shocked. All of us have sinned. Now, some of us haven't admitted it yet, but all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, that ought to take the pressure off, amen, that we can be real. See, in church, we can do one of two extremes. We can make this extreme that says, sin is so bad, I never am going to sin again in my life. And if we take that high, lofty stance, we find that, in fact, we can't quite live up to that, so we kind of fake it that we're living it up to that. We don't come clean about when we blow it, when we've made a mistake, when we've failed, when we've sinned. We don't confess that. And so when you put the standard too high, you can become, if you're not careful, you can become hypocritical. If you put the standard too low and say, well, I just sin every day all the time, and I just say, I'm sorry, God. Well, then your life isn't different than anybody else's around you. Amen? Oh, that was a quiet amen. You're thinking, I can tell you're thinking about this. Somewhere in the middle, we say, God has forgiven us. We have We have sinned, but God has forgiven it. As we confess it before Him, we find His forgiveness. But we also say, I'm going to do my best to live up to the standard that God has given me and what He's called me to do. But if I blow it, if I sin, I'm going to confess it and be honest before God. So let's just be honest here today and say, our church is not made up of perfect people. Don't be too shocked. Don't fall in the floor. Our church is made up of real people who are processing faith and living their life and going through the stuff of life, and we're doing the best we can to follow Jesus. Amen? And we're all learning together, and we're all processing life together. And once in a while, one of us have to say to another one, you know what, I'm sorry, I was wrong. What I did to you was wrong, or what I said to you was wrong. I have sinned. I am sorry. And ask for forgiveness. And confess it to God and confess it to another person. When we become real like that, we become an authentic community of faith where people can be human and still come to our church. That's a big deal. If people have the idea that we're a bunch of sanctified perfectionists in here and we never make any mistakes, they're not going to feel comfortable to be a part of this. But if we're saying, hey, we're all in this journey together, we're all living life together, we're processing our faith together, we're doing the best we can, once in a while when we blow it, we have to say, God, I'm sorry, friend, I'm sorry, and move on. Amen? Amen. You say, Pastor, if we're talking about the power of one, why are you talking about confessing sin? Because when we confess our sin and we find God's grace and forgiveness, it gives us a sense of confidence. The enemy can't attack us for something we've done because we say, hey, I found forgiveness for that. That's gone. God doesn't even remember that. That's clean. That's cleaned off the books. And we have this sense of assurance with God when we keep our hearts clear. We keep our minds clear. We have this confidence before God that we're walking with Him and He's talking to us and we're fellowshipping together and we're obeying Him in our lives. Amen? There's nothing like living out your faith with a pure conscience and a clear heart. It builds courage. It builds confidence. And it doesn't give the enemy a foothold to attack us. James, look at these verses here. You'll never succeed in life if you try to hide your sin, Proverbs says. James says in chapter 5, admit your faults one to another and pray for each other that you can be healed. We are a community of truthfulness and gracefulness. We have grace and truth. That's what they said about Jesus. He came full of grace and truth. Moses gave us the law, but Jesus gave us grace and truth. And that's how we want to live. And I'll confess to you as a pastor, when you live with grace and truth, it's messy. It's not always clear cut. You don't have a set of rules and you say, this is how it always is. No, grace says, what do you need? How can God help you? How can we help you? We receive you and accept you. We have grace for you. But we also have truth for you. We speak the truth in love to you. And we try to live in the tension of grace and truth. It's a big deal. Say, Pastor, why is that a big deal? Because if we're living with this unrealistic standard of living perfection and never sinning, and someone comes into our fellowship and begins to worship with us, and they can smell this. They can sense this. Oh, you're better than I am. Oh, I'm down the totem pole from where you are. You're way up closer to God than I am. If they get any feel of that, they're not going to stay around here. They're not going to be a part of this. You know what a grace-filled community says? Come on in. We accept you. Come on in. We love you. Come on in. We want you to belong in our family. Pastor, what if they've done something wrong? I'm sure they have. You know where people are connecting in church and finding Jesus today? In churches where they're allowed to belong before they believe. Used to be, when my dad was pastoring and I was growing up in the church, you could never join a church until you believed like they believed. And if you believe right, then you can belong. But that's not true anymore. We have to flip that around. We have to say we are a community of faith that receives everyone with grace, and we want you to be a part with us. And because you are, because you belong here, we're going to help you process your questions and issues and battles until you come to the place to put your faith in Jesus. We're going to love you all the way up to that point and then beyond. Amen? And if people know that this is a place where we can come in with our hang-ups and our questions and our problems and process, and there's never a bad question, there's never an issue that we don't treat honestly and openly, but we treat it lovingly. This becomes a safe place to process faith and come to know the Lord. That's how it works. And we are becoming a community of grace and truth that says, we want you to belong here with us, and we want to help you believe with us. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. I like that explanation. You know what that means? That means when we live that way, you're not going to be afraid to invite any of your family and friends to worship with us. That you're going to be afraid of what the pastor may say in the sermon, or some member may say in judgment to one of your family or friends who come to worship with us. We just don't do that here. Anybody who gets a little high-horsed, they get a little uppity, and they're going to set everybody straight. I found out usually those people have a bunch of stuff they're hiding. Just write that down. Just write that. I learned that after 40 years of pastoring. If they're getting real harsh on everybody else, it means they're being harsh on themselves because they've got something they haven't dealt with. I'm glad Jesus loved me and gave me the grace I needed to find him. Aren't you? That's what we need. We need grace. Well, first of all, come clean with God. That will build your courage. That will build your faith. You say, well, Pastor, how do I keep doing that? Well, you kind of do it like Mary, the mother of Jesus, did. Before his first miracle in Cana of Galilee, they were having this party. The place was full. And somehow, a woman's tuition, she just knew something was going to be happening here. But she didn't know what. Hadn't happened yet. But she went to all the servants and said, listen, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. So when he said, go fill up all those pots with water, we've run out of wine. Well, go fill the pots up with water. The servants would have normally said, are you crazy? People aren't going to drink water. But Mary had already said to them, whatever he says to you, you do that. That's the way we want to live in our lives. Whatever he says to us, we're going to do it. Amen? We don't want to be like the disciple who said, but Lord, if you're asking me to do that, what about him over there? Don't they have to do that? I shouldn't have to do that if they don't have to do that. Jesus said, that's none of your business. That's what he said. In other words, Jesus is saying, there are some things I'm going to ask of you that I'm not going to ask of anybody else. You do what Jesus tells you to do. Amen. Great way to live, to keep a clear conscience and a clear heart before God, and to build your confidence and your courage in your life. Number two, I dwell on that one too long. Number two gives us this teaching, stand up for what's right. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, stand true to what you believe. Be courageous. Be strong. And I know the temptation is when we have some issue come up and we have to stand for what's right and true, the world will say, oh, they're being narrow-minded. Oh, they're being judgmental. No, I'm just standing up for what's right. I'm doing the right thing. And when you do it in the little things, you build the courage to do it in the big things. Amen? Amen. When I was in college preparing for ministry, I grew up, you probably can't tell this, I grew up in South Georgia. Yeah, you knew. I got south in the mouth. Where I grew up in South Georgia, there weren't many good paying jobs in the summer. And so I'd come home from college and I'd try to find a job to earn money to go to school the next year. And I stumbled on the carpet factory outside of town. It had just come to our community, this big carpet factory. And they were hiring. And I went out and applied, and I got a job. I don't know a thing about making carpet, but they trained me. And it was hard work. It was hot work. It was hot, humid work. And we had to do swing shifts. So you do those all-nighters. There's nothing more thrilling at 4 o'clock in the morning than smelling burning yarn on those twisting machines, and you're working all night. But I made good money. I loved it. They worked us 10 and 12 hours a day for 4 days, and then we were off for 2 days. Then we worked for 4 days, then we were off for 2 days. And I saw it coming. This work schedule was going to make me work in the carpet factory on Sunday. And I had church on Sunday. I had church. In fact, I went to Sunday school and Sunday morning and youth service and Sunday night 4 times. I'm glad to get some of you here once. That's what we did growing up. Every Sunday, 4 times we went to church. And I remember as the swing shifts kept going and these weeks kept turning, and I saw, I'm on the Sunday schedule. I was scared to death. I mean, I was just shaking in my shoes to go in and talk to that supervisor, young college kid. And I said, I'll never forget the conversation. I said, you know what? This may cost me my job, but I can't work on Sundays. Now, I understand doctors and nurses have to. There's emergency situations where people have to work on Sunday. But this isn't one of those situations. This is making carpet, for goodness sake. And I cannot, in good conscience, work here on Sunday and miss church. And I remember my supervisor looking at me and going, you're kidding. I said, no, sir, I'm dead serious. I said, I cannot work on Sunday. I said, here's what I'll do. I'll come in at 12:01 on Monday morning 1 minute after midnight on Monday morning, and I'll start my shift then. You have me coming in at 10. Let me come in at 12:01, and I'll work my best for you, and I'll stay over 2 hours. When everybody else gets off at 8 o'clock, I'll stay till 10 o'clock. I just can't work on Sundays. In the back of my mind, I'm saying, oh, please, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. So scared what he was going to say. I needed this money. I had to have this for college. He looked at me and said, okay, that's fair. Let's do that. And I determined when I came in at 12:01 in my work clothes, I was going to work harder than anybody else on the floor. And I was going to show him how grateful I was that he let me go to church on Sunday and come to work on Monday. I finished that summer, and that supervisor came around to me and said, young man, we have a place for you in our carpet business. We want to pay your scholarship to go to school full ride and have you work in our carpet industry. He said, we'll pay every penny, and you can have a bright future with this company. I said, sir, I'm sorry. I already have a job. I'm training to be a pastor and a minister, and I can't do carpet when I have to do that. He said, well, you come back here next summer, and I'll have a job for you. And I got to work the next summer. And I didn't have to work Sundays. I want to tell you something. It does something for your faith when once in a while you kind of stand up and say, you know what? That goes against what I believe. I cannot do that. I have to do the right thing. And when you do the right thing, it gives you the strength and the courage to live out your faith in every area of your life. Amen? It really does. Number three, the third thing the scripture teaches us to do is we build our courage by speaking up for Jesus. The scripture tells us, always be ready to speak up and tell anyone why you're living the way you are, and underline this now, and do it with the utmost courtesy. Underline that. With the utmost courtesy. I've heard some people talk about Jesus and share their faith, and it's like they had this spiritual ball bat, and they're wham, wham, wham. They're just beating on people. I got the truth for you, and you need to hear this. And it's like they were really enjoying letting people have it. But Peter says, no, let's share the truth with this sense of love that we have courtesy toward people as we share our faith, that they really matter to us. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, you have this desire to care for them. And when you see someone who's making mistakes in their lives and they're going the wrong direction, you find the courage. Have you ever done an intervention for someone who needed help with some kind of substance abuse? I've been to a few of those, and they're not easy. And the person usually doesn't want to hear what you have to say. And they've deceived themselves and they've hooked themselves on some kind of substance or alcohol, and they're going to argue with you. But you have enough people in the room to say, we love you too much to not say this to you. We care about you too much to let you keep going this way and ruining your life. You're headed for disaster. I love you too much. Let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you what you need to hear. See, Pastor, that's not easy to do. No, it's not easy to do. It takes courage to do that. But you change lives when you do that. We can't change the world until we're willing to get courageous and step out and speak the truth in love. Amen? Amen. It takes that. So let's flip this over here and talk about building up your courage. Starting where you are right now, building up your courage. The first one I put on here, and this sounds kind of strange. I might think some of you think this sounds strange, but I'd say number one, go public through baptism. Come out of hiding. Make it a matter of record. Show everybody you know and some you don't know. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Amen. You can't have your feet in both worlds. You can't say, okay, well, I'm going to keep everybody over here at work in the world happy, and then I'm going to try to go to church on Sunday, and I'm going to try to straddle the fence and live in both. You can't do it. You can't do it in your faith work. There comes a place where you kind of jump in with both feet and you say, I'm putting the world on notice. I have decided to live out my faith and follow Jesus. And you start that with baptism. That's what water baptism is all about. Water baptism is saying, as I'm baptized in this water, I'm buried with Christ and I'm risen with Christ in baptism. The old me dies, the new me comes to life, and I'm sharing with the world that I've decided to follow Christ. A few weeks ago, we baptized a couple people, and after we did, I had a phone call, and a young man said, Pastor, I need to be baptized. And my friend that I led to Jesus wants to be baptized. How about that? I said, that's just awesome. And so he came with his friend and his family, and we had a little church service here on the platform. And they all stood here and looked at the baptistry, and they shared their faith in Christ. Now, what's amazing about this was this young man and his friend are from China, and his friend speaks very little English, and they have to translate for him. And here they come into an English-speaking, predominantly white congregation to put the world on notice that they're going to serve Jesus. You talk about courage. That's a lot of courage, amen? And I asked Bruce before church today, I said, Bruce, will you come up and tell us your testimony? It doesn't have to be long. He said, sure, I'll do that. He said, my English isn't good. I said, yeah, but your heart's good. Bruce, come up here. I wish you could have all been there. I think what I'm going to end up doing is taping all these baptism services so we can see them on Sunday on the screen. But Bruce is working with his mother to start this new Chinese congregation in our building. They started with three. A couple Sundays ago, they had 12 people here. Isn't that awesome? And Bruce has led a couple of them to the Lord. And tell us why you got baptized.
Thanks for Pastor Jing for giving me this chance to share my testimony. And
hold it up close.
Okay, and so actually I was baptized when I was 8 years old in China. My mom became Christian very early. But looking back then, I feel like by then I was only a Christian in name, that I would say the prayer before every meal I take, but it's only lip services, and my heart's without any gratitude. And literally, I just said, thank you, amen, and that's all. And by then, I feel like I only take Christianity as a ritual, but and a religious, but not the truth. And the condition became severe that when I was in church and when I listened to my mom taught a Bible to me, I just 1 year in and 1 year out, and I was so ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian in front of my friends. And when my friends asked me, "Are you a Christian?" and most of the time I just remain silent or just give them an awkward smile. And when they ask, "What's your mother's job?" and I always answer, "She's a housewife." I feel like God, our Father, sometimes will knock our head, point a finger to in front of your face, and telling you that, child, I need you to wake up. That he always used difficulties and obstacles as the blessing in disguise. And when my families immigrated here last year, we went through a lot of difficulties, and his blessing just sometimes God works subtly and momentarily. So I remember one night this year, I was laid in my bed, and suddenly the spirit hits me that I look back to my life, my previous life. Look back to my life, and I suddenly realized that if there is no God, if God's not helping me, there's no way I can go through all of this. My family, we can't go through all of this if there's without God's helping us. And then my heart was filled with gratitude. And when Pastor Jim said that there's a baptism, I said yes immediately, because I found there's two meanings in this. The first is that I take that as an announcement to myself that I'm ready to become a Christian. I'm ready to really follow Jesus Christ, to give up all my life for him, live my life in glory of him all the time, that I'm ready this time. And the second is I'm now very proud. I'm unashamed to be a Christian.
Very good. Thank you, Bruce. And he's leading other young men his age to Jesus too. Something happens when we step across the line and we say, I really mean this. I really am going to do this. And I'm not ashamed for anybody to know this. I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. And when we do that, then it ratchets up our confidence and our courage to help others follow the Lord too. Number two, you start praying for boldness, like we talked about a while ago, that the disciples prayed, Lord, you hear their threatenings. Give us boldness to speak your truth. The Apostle Paul prayed that way. Pray and ask God to give me the right words as I boldly tell others about the Lord. We can pray for boldness. We can pray for courage. The psalmist said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's a good prayer. Lord, don't let me be a spiritual chicken little. Give me some courage to stand up for you and do what needs to be done. Number three, expect that God will use me. Expect that he's going to open some doors and connect us with other people and give us the opportunity to share our faith and let others know that the Lord loves them. Look at this great verse. I expect and hope that I will have the courage now, as always, to show the greatness of God in my life here on earth. What a great prayer. I expect that God is going to do this. So in 2 weeks, we're going to have what we call Back to Church Sunday. You saw the banner out there in the hall. We've prepared these attractive invitations that you can hand people that kind of introduces what our church is about. There's a lot of people who've dropped out of church. They got burned. They got hurt. And they've kind of given up. And we're going to say to them, we're having a Sunday for everybody like you who's kind of given up and been hurt to come back to church. It's called an amnesty Sunday. No questions asked. We're not going to say, where have you been? What have you been doing? Why haven't you been coming? We're not going to say that. We're going to say, glad to see you. Glad you're here. Enjoy the service. We're just going to welcome them. And you can take one of these, or two or three of these, and go find some people in your community, around you, maybe at work, in your family. Hand it to them. Has a map to the church and the time of the service, and say, come and be with me. Come and go with me to Back to Church Sunday. Say, Pastor, I don't want to do that. I'm too scared to do that. Well, you're expecting the wrong thing. When you begin to expect that, in fact, God's Spirit has gone ahead of you and started working on people's hearts before you ever speak to them. He prepares the way. The Holy Spirit draws people to God. All we do is join in with what God has been doing and help that process along. Amen. There's a whole stack of these out on the table in the foyer. I hope you'll pick up half a dozen at least. You probably have to invite 10 people to get 4 here. Go to work on that and see what God will begin doing as you expect Him to work through you and minister through you for September 17th. And then here's a good clincher, number 4. Remember the end of the story. Remember how all this ends. You say, I feel kind of nervous about this right now. I don't know how it's going to work if I ask somebody. I don't know how they're going to respond. Well, you do know this. You know how the story ends. And you know that you end up on the winning side, amen? And you know that one day they're going to look at you and say, boy, I'm glad you told me. I'm glad you tried. God used that witness to me. Who are they? God has sprinkled into this fellowship contacts and relational connections all around us. We represent hundreds of people in this auditorium. That if we can build the bridge to them, if we can be the one that says the right word to them and invites them, it could make all the difference in their lives. Take courage, for the Lord's coming is near, James said. I always think of this last verse in your outline. Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. I don't ever want the Lord to be ashamed of me, especially on Judgment Day. When I stand before Him, I want to know that I have had the courage and the faith to stand up for Christ and not be ashamed of Him, so He will not be ashamed of me. Amen? Amen. That's where we want to live. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Lord, I've given a fumbling, stumbling message here today. I haven't said it the way I wanted to. But tried to speak the truth. And I'm asking, Lord, that your Spirit speaks truth to our hearts right now. I ask that there are individuals here today who would begin to say, yes, there is someone I need to speak to. There is someone I need to direct in their lives. There's someone headed for trouble unless somebody speaks the truth with grace and love to them. They're in real trouble. And I want God to use me in speaking to them. Lord, all across our church family today, I pray this message would somehow connect. That somehow we would begin to think about and pray about who are those people that you've placed in my life that I have a relationship with, that I could speak the truth to them. And Lord, you could use my words at the right time, in the right way, to bring them closer to Jesus. To let them come and worship with us and sense the Lord's presence here. Lord, use our church right now, we pray. We expect that our congregation has many, many people that we can reach out to, and you want to work through each of us here. Let it happen, we pray. Speak to our hearts in these moments. Whatever the Lord says to me, let me do it. Let me do it today. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.